Thank you for using our worship team to remind us of who you are and what you have done for us.
主耶稣，谢谢你用赞美小组来提醒我们，我们是谁，我们要怎么样敬拜你。
Heavenly Father, now as we come to your word, our prayers echo that of psalmist in Psalm 119.
现在我们来到你的台前，让我们的赞美，让我们的敬拜能够回应像诗篇里面所这么说的。
Teach us, O Lord, to follow your decrees, then we may keep them to the end. Give us understanding that we may keep your law and obey it with all our hearts.
在诗篇119篇这样说，耶和华，求你将你的律例指教我，我必遵守到底。求你赐我悟性，我便遵守你的律法，且要一心遵守。
Direct us in the path of your commands, for there we find delight.And turn our hearts toward your statutes and not toward selfish gain. Turn our eyes away from worthless things and preserve our lives according to your word.
求你使我的心趋向你的法度，不趋向非义之财。求你叫我转眼不看虚假，又叫我在你的道中生活。
We ask this in Jesus' name.
我们以主耶稣的名求，
阿门。Well, this morning we are beginning a new sermon series entitled Footsteps of Faith.
今天早上我们要开始我们新一段落的讲章，这是信心的脚踪。
Over the next 5 Sundays, we are going to focus on the life of Abraham.
在接下来五个礼拜，我们要讲亚伯拉罕的生命。
His story is told in Genesis chapters 11 through 25.
这是在创世纪11章到25章中所提到的。
Why should we focus on Abraham's life?
为什么我们要讲亚伯拉罕的生活？
We should focus on Abraham's life because his story is relevant to both believers and unbelievers.
因为他的生命是与非信徒跟信徒都是有很重要的关联的。
If you are an unbeliever with no spiritual understanding, the life of Abraham should be a message of hope for you.
如果你还没有宗教信仰与认识，亚伯拉罕的生命会带给你希望。
We will see today that Abraham was under the influence of his pluralistic environment, and he was not looking for God at all.
在当时，亚伯拉罕他还在异教徒的环境中，他并没有寻求神。
But God was looking for him and saved him by His grace.
但是神寻找他，又以恩典拯救他。
Second, if you are an unbeliever who desires to understand who God is and what He requires from you, the life of Abraham is the one from which you can learn also.
如果你还没有信仰宗教，你可以再从亚伯拉罕的生命中，你看到神是怎么样与他对话。
His life changed when God spoke to him.
当神与他说话时，他的生命全然改变了。
And thirdly, if you are a believer in Christ, the study of the life of Abraham is for you also.
如果你是基督徒，亚伯拉罕的生命对你也是很重要的。
In Romans 4:11, Abraham is called the father of all who walk by faith.
在罗马书11章4节说，亚伯拉罕是信心之父。
Abraham's life is a picture of the believer's pilgrimage of faith.
亚伯拉罕的生命就是我们基督徒一段信心的旅程。
As we enter the world and journey of Abraham, we will see his mistakes and his principles as he attempts to follow God's plan.
当我们看亚伯拉罕的生命的时候，我们可以看到他在遵循神的计划当中，他所用的方法和他所犯的错误。
And as believers, we can learn a lot from that.
我们可以学到许多。
The bottom line is this, each one of us can be what Abraham was.
我们都可以像亚伯拉罕一样。
He was a man who heard God and who based his entire life on the conviction that God can be trusted to do what he says he will do.
他听了神的话，投注了他整个生命，相信神是可以信赖的，神必做到他所承诺的。
So let's begin our study.
我们就要开始我们的研读。
Please turn to Genesis chapter 11.
请你看到创世纪第十一章。
If you do not have your own Bible, please use one of ours.
你可以用在我们的座位前端有中文圣经。
The last chair on your right in each row has Chinese Bible.
在每一个一排的最后一个座位上有中文圣经。
And Genesis 11 is on page 16.
在第十六页。
We are going to read chapter 11, beginning in verse 27, through chapter 12, verse 9. Please find it in your Bible and follow along as Sophia reads our text.
Chapter 11,
verse 27 through 12:9.
十一章第二十七节，塔拉的后代记在下面：塔拉生亚伯兰、拿赫、哈兰，哈兰生罗德，哈兰死在他的本地加勒底的吾尔，在他父亲塔拉之先，亚伯兰、拿赫各娶了妻。亚伯兰的妻子名叫撒莱，拿赫的妻子名叫密加，是哈兰的女儿。哈兰是密加和义家的父亲。撒莱不生育，没有孩子。塔拉带着他儿子亚伯兰和他孙子哈兰的儿子罗德，并他儿父亚伯兰的妻子撒莱，出了加勒底的吾尔，要往迦南地去。他们走到哈兰，就住在那里。塔拉共活了205岁，就死在哈兰。十二章，耶和华对亚伯兰说：你要离开本地、本族、父家，往我所要指示你的地去。我必叫你成为大国，我必赐福给你，叫你的名为大，你也要叫别人得福。为你祝福的，我必赐福与他；那咒诅你的，我必咒诅他。地上的万族都要因你得福。亚伯兰就照着耶和华的吩咐去了，罗德也和他同去。亚伯兰出哈兰的时候年75岁。亚伯兰将他妻子撒莱和侄儿罗德，连他们在哈兰所积蓄的财物、所得的人口，都带往迦南地去。他们就到了迦南地。亚伯兰经过那地，到了示剑地方摩利橡树那里，那时迦南人住在那地。耶和华向亚伯兰显现，说：我要把这地赐给你的后裔。亚伯兰就在那里为向他显现的耶和华筑了一座坛，从那里他又迁到伯特利东边的山，支搭帐篷，西边是伯特利，东边是爱。他在那里又为耶和华筑了一座坛，求告耶和华的名。后来亚伯兰又渐渐迁往南地去。
The story of Abraham begins with his father's genealogy.
这个故事是从他父亲的家谱开始。
And by starting with his father's genealogy, the author of the book of Genesis reminds us of two important facts that we need to remember in order to understand the rest of the narrative of Abraham and its relevance for us today.
从他的家族开始叙述，提醒我们两件事，让我们在这 一整段的经节中要提醒我们注意两件事。
Usually when you read the Bible, when you come to genealogy, we have a tendency to skip that page and just go to something else.
当我们在读圣经的时候，如果我们看到家谱，我们通常都会略过 不读了。
But genealogies play an important role in the Bible.
但是家谱在圣经中是非常重要的。
In every case, they make an important theological point.
在每一个家谱中都要提醒我们非常重要的重点。
So what is the point of genealogy in chapter 11?
所以在这第十一章中到底家谱有什么重要呢？
1a in our outline says, God's grace preserves a means of saving humankind from the full consequences of sin.
在这里最重要的一点就是说，神的恩典为了人类能够避免犯罪的后果，保存了一个非常有效的方法。
That's the theological point of genealogy in chapter 11.
这个就是这个家谱最重要的重点。
Notice where the genealogy is placed and what names are mentioned.
所以我们要特别注意这个家谱是放在什么地方，而它所提到的人名。
The first part of chapter 11 presents the events of Babel.
在第十一章开始的时候，我们讲到巴别这个地方。
The Tower of Babel narrative is followed by genealogy, which starts in verse 10 with Noah's son Shem, whom God blessed, and concludes with Abraham, whom God purposed to bless.
在这里提到巴别塔，在这巴别塔之后开始叙述 这个家谱，这个家谱是从神所祝福的挪亚的儿子闪开始，然后一直到神计划要祝福的亚伯兰来结束。
So focus is on Noah and on Abraham who lived in the area where the Tower of Babel was built.
这个家谱着重在诺亚跟亚伯兰，他们当时是住在这个巴别塔被建造的地方。
Both stories, the story of Noah and the story of the Tower of Babel, highlight two points.
这个巴别塔跟诺亚有讲到两个很重要的重点。
The problem of sin and God's response.
罪恶的问题跟神的回应。
Genesis chapter 6:5 highlights the problem of sin at the time of Noah.
在创世纪六章五节提到当时的罪恶的问题。
The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.
耶和华见人在地上罪恶很大。终日所思想的尽都是恶。
Genesis 6:5 shows the shocking and dangerous degree to which sin have overcome the human race.
在当时，人们的罪恶是真的已经被如此的巨大。
Every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time.
人们终日所思想的尽都是恶。
Genesis 11:4 highlights the problem of sin at the time of Abraham.
在11章4节讲到在亚伯拉罕时代的罪的问题。
People said, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves, otherwise we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.
在创世纪11章4节，人们说，来吧，我们要建造一座城和一座塔，塔顶通天，为要传扬我们的名，免得我们分散在全地上。
Notice why they tried to build the Tower of Babel.
我们来看他为什么要建造一个塔。
They did not want it to be scattered over the whole face of the earth.
因为他们不想要分散在全地上。
The Tower of Babel represented the people's disobedience to the command of God in chapter 9, verse 1.
在巴别塔中是很明显的提示了巴别城中的人如何违抗神的命令。
In 9:1 we read God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth."
在这个命令是特别在创世纪九章一节所讲到的，上帝赐福给挪亚和他的儿子，对他们说：“你们要生养众多，遍满了地。
”Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth.
你们要生养众多，遍满了地。
People at the Babel said, "We don't want to be spread around the earth. We don't want to fill the earth."
巴别城中的人，他们不要分散在全地。
They wanted to build the secular society.
他们要建筑一个世俗的一个城。
They ignored God like they had no need of Him at all.
他们忽视神，他们也不需要神。
They ignored God like they don't have any responsibility to Him at all.
他们忽视神，他们也不要为神尽责。
So we see the problem of sin.
所以我们可以看到这个罪恶的问题。
What was God's response?
神的回应是什么呢？
The people at the time of Noah perished in the flood.
在当时挪亚的时代，人类从洪水中已经灭绝了。
The people at Babel were scattered by confusion and alienation.
在巴别城中的人们是充满了迷惘和疏离。
But in the midst of God's judgment, we also see God's grace.
但是在神的审判中，神也让我们看到了他的恩典。
God called Noah and God called Abraham.
神呼召了挪亚和亚伯兰。
So the purpose of the genealogy is to remind us that no matter how evil the world seems to be, God always has individuals through whom He works to save the humankind.
所以这里让我们看到，不管人类的罪恶如何，神总是利用一些人，能够让我们得到祝福，能够拯救我们。
Abraham is the beginning of the solution to the sin problem identified in Genesis chapter 11.
亚伯拉罕是在第十一章中这个解答的开始。
And that's the response of God's grace.
这是就是回应神的恩典。
God's grace preserves a means of saving humankind from the full consequences of sin.
神的恩典就让人类能够避免这个犯罪的后果，他为我们保存了一个有效的方法。
This is the first lesson in our text.
这是我们第一个功课。
Genealogy also illustrates another lesson.
家谱也为我们提供了另外一个功课。
We live in a fallen world that is characterized by idolatry and disappointments.
我们知道我们现在身处于一个偶像崇拜和令人失望沮丧的堕落世俗当中。
Two important pieces of information stands out in verses 30 to 32.
我们在30跟32节我们可以看到两个重要的讯息。
In verse 30, we are told that Abraham's wife Sarai was unable to have children.
在第30节中我们可以看到亚伯兰的妻子撒莱不能生育。
Barren women in the ancient Near East were considered inadequate wives and often had no hope of security for the future.
在古老的近东传统中，不能生育的女人是认为是一个不称职的妻子，而且对未来是没有保障的。
This fact of barrenness illustrates that we live in the fallen world.
在这个不能生育的这个事实，让我们看到我们是真的处在一个堕落的世俗当中。
This fact of barrenness illustrates the emotional and physical consequences of sin.
这是反映出一个情感上和一个心理上的一个堕落。
And then,
一个罪恶的问题。
And then in verses 31 and 32, we read about Abraham's father's journey.
我们在31跟32节，我们也可以看到亚伯兰的父亲他拉的旅程。
Abraham's father decided to take his family and leave his hometown of Ur.
他拉决定要离开他们在加勒底乌尔的家乡。
He sets out to go to the land of Canaan, but his journey stops short of his goal.
他原来计划要到迦南地，但是在当中停下来了。
He settled down in a city called Haran, where he died.
他在哈兰定居下来，随后他在哈兰过世了。
What motivated Terah to leave Ur?
是什么促使他拉要离开这个乌尔呢？
Historians tell us that Ur was one of the most important cities of the ancient world.
在当时，历史学家告诉我们，当时乌尔是在中东地区一个非常重要的城市。
It was known as a center for mathematics, astronomy, philosophy, and international commerce.
它是一个数学、天文、哲学和国际贸易的中心。
In Isaiah 13:19, the prophet refers to it as the splendor and pomp of the Chaldees.
在以赛亚书13:19节提到加勒底的荣耀与华美。
People from other areas moved to Ur because they wanted to be part of this great and important city.
许多人从外地移到乌尔来，是因为他们想成为这个重要城市中的一部分。
What motivated Terah to leave Ur?
但是为什么他拉他想要离开乌尔呢？
Our text does not give us direct answer, but we can safely conclude that he and his family were on a search for the meaning of life.
虽然在圣经章节中没有提到，但是我们可以总结，因为他和他的家人想要寻找生命的意义。
What do we learn about Abraham and his family from other passages in the Bible?
我们从其他的圣经章节中，我们可以得到一些讯息。
Let's see on the screen Joshua 24:2.
在约书亚24章，约书亚24章二节，这边说，
Joshua 24:2.
Oh, I'm sorry. I cannot see.
All right. Can somebody read out loud? We need someone who can see. All right. Notice that Abraham and his whole family, while they were living in Ur, were idol worshippers.
所以在他们住在乌尔的时候，他们是侍奉偶像的。
So what is an idol?
偶像是什么呢？
I think we need to define this because in 21st century we often have a very narrow view of idolatry.
所以我们在这个21世纪的时候，我们要怎么样定义偶像是什么？
We often think idolatry is only when somebody is bowing down to some statue somewhere.
我们以为敬拜偶像就是对一个 偶像真正的去下拜的。
Let me give you a biblical definition of an idol.
让我给你一个在圣经中对偶像崇拜的一个定义。
An idol is anything that becomes a controlling obsession in your life.
一个偶像就是在你的生命中有任何事物使你沉迷而且受控制的这些。
Can your children become idols to you?
你的孩子可以成为你的偶像吗？
Can your marriage become idol to you?
你的婚姻可以成为你的偶像吗？
Can your career become idol to you?
你的事业可以成为你的偶像吗？
Can your church become idol to you?
你的教会可以成为你的偶像吗？
And the answer is yes, if we concentrate too much on them for personal identity, meaning, and security.
如果你用把你的自己的生命，你的认别，你的投注沉迷于上面，你就是把它作为你的偶像。
An idol is anything that becomes a controlling obsession in your life.
因为它就控制了我们，在我们的生命中，它就控制了我们。
First Kings 11 tells us that toward the end of his life, King Solomon became an idol worshipper.
在列王记上十一章告诉我们，在所罗门晚年的时候，他也成为一个偶像崇拜者。
And during that time, he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes to warn the subsequent generations not to make the same mistake.
之后，他写了传道书，用来警醒后代不要犯与他相同的错误。
And the lesson that he emphasizes in the book is this.
他在他书中所要强调的是这个。
The ultimate tragedy of idolatry is that it takes all that you have and gives nothing in return.
这个偶像崇拜最大的悲剧就是它可以把你掏空了，却让你得不到任何回报。
Throughout the book, he is saying that he was looking for the meaning of life in different earthly pleasures.
在传道书中，他说他从各种享乐、物质、知识方面来寻求生命的意义。
He was looking for the meaning of life in material possessions.
他从物质的拥有中来想要寻找生命的意义。
He was looking for the meaning of life in education and work.
他从知识、教育与工作中想要寻找生命的意义。
But all this search led only to disappointment.
但是这些都让他带来更深的失望。
While in Ur, Terah and his family were wealthy, they had power, and they have all that goes with it, but their lives were empty.
在乌尔的时候，塔拉和他的家庭享有财富、权势及所有其他他们所拥有的一切，但是他们的生命是空虚的。
And they thought if they just moved to another place, that will bring the meaning and fulfillment in their life.
他们认为，也许他们搬到别处去，他们就可以使他们的生命充实了。
The genealogy presents a barren wife.And an incomplete journey.
但是在家谱中也告诉我们，当时他们有一个不能生育的妻子，而他们有一个没有完成的旅程。
A barren wife reminds us that we live in a fallen world.
一个不能生育的妻子告诉我们是活在一个堕落的时代中。
An incomplete journey reminds us that we live the kind of life that is characterized by idolatry and disappointments.
一个没有完全的旅程告诉我们。我们在一个堕落的世代中。
So what is the solution to that problem?
这个解答是什么呢？
And this brings us to the Lord's speech in chapter 12.
这个就让我们看到神对亚伯兰说的话。
And notice that it was the Lord who approached Abraham.
我们要注意是神去寻找亚伯兰。
Abraham was not looking for God. He was looking for the meaning of life, but he was not looking for God.
亚伯拉罕在当时虽然是寻求生命的意义，但是他并没有去寻找神。
God graciously revealed himself to Abraham.
神的恩典来到亚伯拉罕前。
And in chapter 12 verse 1, he gave him a command to go away from three things and do one thing.
在十二章一节，神要亚伯兰离开三样事，做一件事。
Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you.
他说你要离开本地本族父家往我所要指示你的地去。
Then in verses 2 and 3, God gives Abraham three promises.
在第二节跟第三节神也给亚伯拉罕三个应许。
Right, let's think about it for a moment.
让我们来想一想。
God tells him go away from the three things.
神要亚伯兰离开三样事。
He tells him to do one thing.
他要他做一样事。
And then he gives him three promises.
然后他又给他三样应许。
What is God saying here?
到底神要说什么呢
？God is teaching Abraham and us this very important lesson.
神要我们跟亚伯兰学一个很重要的功课。
True security and fulfillment in life are achieved by living for God and depending on His promises.
这个重要的功课是为主而活，并完全信靠神的应许，才能获得生命真实的保障与成就感。
God called Abraham to forsake everything in life that typically provided security and comfort for the ancient Near Eastern people.
神要亚伯拉罕放弃当时一般人所认为能够提供保障与舒适的一切的事物。
He was asked to leave his land and his people.
他要离开他的本家本地跟他的人。
This included giving up his career, his traditions, and his influence.
所以这就包括他要离开他的家族、他的产业跟他所有的传承。
Abraham also must leave behind his father's heritage.
他也要放弃他能够继承父家的权利。
This required giving up his right of inheritance, which included material possessions and ownership of the land.
这就包括他要放弃他能够继承土地产业的权利。这些通常就是表示他有一些未来的保障的。
God asked Abraham to leave behind everything that provided security and comfort.
神要亚伯拉罕离开那些所有能够提供他保障与舒适的事物。
His career, his traditions.
他的事业，他的传统。
His influence.
他的影响力。
Material possessions and
所有物质的拥有。
Of the land.
而且产业。
But then God replaced these three things with three promises.
但是神用三样应许来替换他三样所要放弃的东西。
First, God promised Abraham a good reputation.
首先，神应许他要使他的名为大。
Second, He promised divine blessing or cursing based on people's treatment of Abraham and his descendants.
第二个，他要看别人如何对待亚伯兰和他的后代。而得到祝福和咒诅。
Abraham was assured that he and his people will have an established identity.
神让亚伯兰知道他与他的名会有大名。
And the promise of descendants was especially meaningful in the light of Sarah's barrenness.
在当时撒拉不能生育的时候，使他的名为大而成为大国是特别具有深意的。
Thirdly, God promised that all families of the earth will be blessed through Abraham.
另外，神也应许他在世界上所有的人类都能够经过亚伯兰而得到祝福。
See, God called Abraham to a relationship in which he would receive both blessing and be an instrument of blessing.
在这里，神呼召了亚伯兰，亚伯兰能够与神建立关系，所以他本身可以得到神的祝福，并成为祝福的管道。
If you want to have the fulfillment in life, you need to understand this.
如果你想要有一个充实的生命，你必须要了解这个。
We never experience God's best for us until we are used by God to touch the lives of others.
我们必须要能够充分被神使用，碰触他人的生命。我们才能够经历神的至善。
God called Abraham to receive blessing, but also to be an instrument of blessing to others.
神呼召亚伯兰，使他成为祝福的对象，并成为祝福的管道。
God asked Abraham to go away from three things.
神要亚伯兰离开三样事。
His land, his people, and his father's inheritance.
他的地，他的本族，他的父家。
God told him to do one thing.
神要他做一样事。
Go to the land I will show you.
往我所要指示你的地去。
And then God gave him three promises.
而神给他三样应许。
Promise of good reputation.
使他的名为大。
Promise of descendants.
使他有大国。
And promise that he will be an instrument of blessing to others.
使他也能够成为别人的祝福。
True security and fulfillment in life are achieved by living for God.And depending on His promises.
唯有为主而活，并完全信靠神的应许，我们才能获得生命真实的保障与成就感。
There is another point in verse 1 that we should not miss.
在第一节中，我们也看到另外一点我们不能忽略的。
It relates to how God guides His people.
其中是提到神怎么样来带领他的子民。
In verse 1, God says to Abraham, "Go to the land that I will show you."
在第一节，神说。往我所要指示你的地去。
He was told nothing else about the land to which he must go.
他不知道他到底要往哪里去。
This is what we read in Hebrews 11:8.
在希伯来书11章8节，他这里讲到，亚伯拉罕因着信，蒙召的时候就遵命出去，往将来为要得业的地方去。出去的时候还不知往哪里去。
Notice Abraham did not know where he was going.
注意亚伯兰当时他并不知道他要往哪里去。
He did not know how to go there.
他不知道要如何到那里。
He did not know how long it will take to come there.
也不知道要多久才能到那儿。
And he did not know how he will recognize he is there once when he gets there.
他甚至于不知道他是不是已经到了。
All that he knew was that God said, go.
他唯一知道的就是神告诉他去。
What does this teach us about how God guides His people?
这里教导我们神是怎么样带领他的子民呢？
The lesson is this.
这个功课就是
God's guidance is revealed one step at a time.
神的引导是一步一步的带领的。
And Numbers 9 verses 15 to 23 confirms this fact.
在民数记九章十五到二十三节中是印证了这个。
In Numbers 9, we read that there was a pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night that guided the people of Israel across the wilderness.
在当时以色列人在旷野中行进时，白天有云柱，晚上有火柱。
When cloud was moving, they were moving.
当云柱进行的时候，他们也前进。
When cloud stopped, they stopped.
当云柱停的时候，他们也停。
Sometimes the cloud stopped for a day.
什么？有的时候云柱会停好几天。
Sometimes for a month.
有的时候好几个月。
And sometimes for the whole year.
有的时候一整年。
When the cloud stopped, they stopped.
当云柱停的时候，他们也停。
When the cloud moved, they moved.
当云柱走的时候，他们也行进。
How did God guide the people of Israel in the wilderness?
神是怎么样引导以色列民呢？
Day by day.And step by step.
一刻一刻或是一天一天的。
How did God guide Abraham when he called him?
神是怎么样引导亚伯兰的呢？
Day by day and step by step.
也是一天一天一步一步的。
That's always how it is in the life of faith.
在信心的生活中就是如此。
And many times you will be called to step out for God and you will precisely be when Abraham was, believing God but not knowing the future.
当神呼召我们要往前行的时候，他也要我们像亚伯拉罕一样，我们要能够信靠神，即使我们并不知道未来是如何。
Go to the land that I will show you.
往我所要指示你的地去。
Chapter 12 verse 4 says, So Abram went as the Lord had told him.
在12章4节说，亚伯兰就照着耶和华的吩咐去。
Abraham followed God in full obedience.And he arrived in the land.
亚伯兰完全遵从神的吩咐，而到了神要他去的地方。
That's why he's called the father of faith.
所以他是称为信心之父。
Do you see the radical obedience that he displays here for us?
你看到他这样完全遵从的一个行为吗？
Abraham went as the Lord had told him.
他就照着耶和华的吩咐去了。
And then verses 6 through 9 describes Abraham's life in Canaan.
在第六节到第九节形容亚伯拉罕在迦南的生活。
Once when he arrived in the land, God reveals something else to him.
在他抵达了迦南之后，神又对他显示了其他的事。
Look at verses 6 and 7.
我们在第六节跟第七节。
At that time the Canaanites were in the land, and the Lord appeared to Abram and said, To your offspring I will give his land, this land.
那时迦南人住在那地。耶和华向亚伯兰显现说，我要把这地赐给你的后裔。
So when God brought him to the land, now God reveals to you and your offspring, I will give this land.
所以神带他到了迦南，然后并向他显示说，我要把这个地赐给你和你的后裔。
But there is also one problem that became a test of obedience.
但是有一个问题是要来考验他的顺服的。
Verse 6 says, at that time the Canaanites were in the land.
在第六节说，那是迦南人住在那里。
So how can this land be given to Abraham if already someone possesses it?
如果已经有其他人住在那里了，怎么样能够给亚伯兰呢？
And it was not anyone, it was Canaanites who were very sinful and violent people.
而且不是普通人住在那里，是迦南人，是素来邪恶和凶暴的迦南人。
And verses 6 to 9 tells us that Abraham was moving from place to place once when he was in the land.
而且在第六节到第九节也告诉我们，亚伯拉罕他在迦南到处迁徙。
Apparently he didn't receive warm welcome from the inhabitants of the places where he stopped.
很显然的，他在当地并不是很受欢迎的。
So he needed to move from place to place because people didn't give him warm welcome.
所以他必须要到处迁移，因为人们并不喜欢他。
So how can this land be given to Abraham if someone already possesses it?
所以当时已经有迦南人住在那里，这块地怎么样能够给予亚伯兰呢？
And how is it that Abraham was strong in faith during this period of God's dealing with him?
在这当时，亚伯兰怎么样在这个境况当中学习坚定他的信心呢？
There are two answers to this question.
有两个解答。
First one is in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 9 and 10.
我们在希伯来书11章9到10节可以看到一个答案。
Hebrews 11, 9 and 10 describes what kind of attitude Abraham had when he was in the land of Canaan.
在这里讲到亚伯兰在迦南的时候，他是用一个什么样的态度来应对这些？
It says, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God.
在希伯来书十一章九跟十节说，他因着信就在所应许之地做客，好像在异地居住帐篷，与那同盟一个应许的以撒、雅各一样，因为他等候那座有根基的城，就是神所经营、所建造的。
During this period of his life, while he was living in Canaan, Abraham is an example of how Christians should live in this world.
在这个当中，也向我们显示了我们当今的基督徒应该要怎么样的生活。
Here's the first lesson.
这是第一个功课。
Living by faith means never taking your eyes off heaven.
第一个功课是因信而活，就是定睛仰望神的国度。
Abraham and his children saw themselves as strangers in the foreign land.
亚伯拉罕和他的子孙明白他们并不能够在这个世上定居的。
They lived in tents, which is a symbol of everything non-permanent.
他们在住在帐篷中是并不是一个永久的家。
Abraham could go back to Ur, to his old hometown, but he never returned back.
但他也许可能回到乌尔，但是他并没有这样做。
The old life never appealed to him anymore.
在过去老旧的日子已经不再能够吸引他了。
He understood that when God calls a man, he calls him to live with an eternal perspective.
他了解当神呼召一个人的时候，我们要以永恒的眼光来看，来过这个生活。
Do you have the same attitude as Abraham?
你有没有像亚伯拉罕一样的态度呢？
Do you live with an eternal perspective?
你是不是用一个永恒的眼光来过你的生活呢？
We like Abraham are called to be pilgrims on this earth.
我们像亚伯兰一样，我们也是在这个世上的一个异乡客旅。
And like Abraham, we are also called to take possession of this world.
我们也同样的像亚伯兰一样被神所呼召，而且能够享有这个生命的旅程。
And it is to be spiritual possession through the proclamation of God's truth.
这是要经由宣扬神的真理，使我们也可以拥有属天的产业。
Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18 through 20 this.
在马太福音28章18到20节，耶稣近前来对他们说，天上地下所有的权柄都赐给我了，所以你们要去，使万民做我的门徒，奉父子圣灵的名给他们施洗。凡我所吩咐你们的都教训他们遵守，我就常与你们同在，直到世界的末了。
We are called to take possession of this world through a proclamation of God's truth.
我们能够享有这个生命，能够拥有这个世上的产业，是要经由宣扬神的真理，使我们能够拥有属天的产业。
How can we fulfill this mandate?
我们怎么样能够实现这个使命呢？
Abraham tells us how.
亚伯拉罕告诉我们怎么样做。
Verses 7 and 8 shows that Abraham was building altars in the land of Canaan.
在第六节跟第八节的时候， 告诉我们亚伯拉罕在当地筑了一个坛。
Wherever he went, he built an altar.
当他到任何地方去的时候，他就在当地建一个祭坛。
Why he was building altars all over the land of Canaan?
为什么他要在各地建筑祭坛呢？
Well, symbolically, that means that he was taking possession of this land.
在象征性的，他好像是他拥有了这块地。
But on a practical level, he was reminding himself of one very important principle.
但实际上他是要提醒他自己一个很重要的事。
And the principle is this.
这个原则就是
Surrender is God's requirement for maximal usefulness.
要完全为神所用，就需要完全的顺服。
He knew that God called him to be an instrument of blessing to all people.
他知道神要借着他成为所有人的祝福。
Altars remind us on sacrifices.
祭坛提醒他这个牺牲的重要性。
And the Christian life is built around the concept of sacrifice.
基督徒的生活就是建筑在这个牺牲的观念上。
The Apostle Paul says in Romans 12:1, Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship.
在罗马书十二章一节说，所以弟兄们，我以神的慈悲劝你们，将身体献上，当作活祭，是圣洁的，是神所喜悦的。你们如此侍奉，乃是理所当然的。
Abraham reminds us that our ongoing lifestyle of sacrificial obedience to God is a requirement for maximum usefulness.
亚伯拉罕提醒我们，一个信徒，我们必须要将生命全然摆上，作为向神的献祭，才是真实而且正确的敬拜。
God blessed Abraham and wanted him to be an instrument of blessing to others.
神祝福亚伯兰，而且要他成为一个祝福的管道。
And God wants to do the same with you.
神也要我们做同样的事。
With this, we bring to the close our first study of the life of Abraham.
这让我们来到了第一个讲章的尾声。
When we met him, he was worshipping idols in Ur.
当我们初遇亚伯兰的时候，他还是一个崇拜偶像的人。
Now, as we leave him, he is worshipping God in Canaan.
当我们今天离开的时候，我们看到亚伯兰他在敬拜真神。
God called and he obeyed.
神呼召他，他遵循了。
God is calling you.
神也呼召你。
Will you obey?
你是否顺服呢？
I don't know where you are personally.In your journey of faith, but I'm sure that you are at one point or another on Abraham's long journey of faith.
我不知道现在在你的信心的旅程上，你是在哪一个点上？ You, 但是我知道你可能就在亚伯拉罕他的生命中的一个点。
You may be in the Ur of Chaldees, spiritually speaking.
你可能在乌尔这个境界上。
If so, God is calling you today to salvation.
如果是这样的话，神今天就呼召你。
Let's see John 3:16 on the screen.
我们看约翰福音三章十六节。
Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life."
神说，神爱世人，所以将他的独生子赐给他们，要一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。
We all have sinned, which means that we all did not live according to God's standard of perfection.
我们都有罪，是因为我们都没有按照神的完美的标准来过日子。
In thoughts, words, and deeds, we have not been perfect.
在我们的思想行为上面，我们没有完全。
And the Bible says that by sinning, we have earned death.
因为罪，我们就趋向死亡。
That means that we deserve to die and be separated from God forever.
所以我们是罪有应得，我们是应当死亡并与神隔离的。
But God loved us so much that He gave His one and only Son to come on this earth, live a sinless life, and then die on the cross for our sins.
但是神为了爱我们，他舍他自己的生命为我们死在十字架上。
And now God offers forgiveness of sins and relationship with Him.On one condition only.
神把他自己给我们，让他拯救我们，他的爱让我们能够得到拯救，他只有一个条件。
Believe in Jesus Christ.
信耶稣基督。
God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life.
神爱世人，将他的独生子赐给他们， 叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。
Was there a moment in your life when you put your faith, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior?
在你生命的当中，你曾经有这么一刻把你的生命献给主耶稣吗？
If not, is there anything keeping you from trusting Christ right now?
如果没有的话，有什么事情能阻止你现在就把你的生命献给主耶稣呢？
If there is, then meet me after the service. We can talk about it, or meet Pastor Lee or someone and talk about it. What is it that is keeping you from trusting Christ as personal Savior?
如果有这样任何一个原因阻止你现在 就奉献自己给主耶稣的话，请你在聚会完了之后来找我，我们可以讨论到底是什么事会阻止你这样做。
If there is nothing keeping you from trusting in Christ as your personal Savior right now, I want to give you opportunity to do this.
如果没有其他的事情会阻止你这样做的话，我要现在就给你这样一个机会。
Sophia will lead a prayer.
我们要一起祷告。
Prayer is not the saves. This prayer is just the means through which you express your trust in Jesus Christ as a Savior.
我们要用下面的祷告来代表我们要把我们全部的信心放在主耶稣身上。
So if you're ready to accept Jesus Christ as Savior, why don't you repeat this prayer after Sophia?
如果你愿意接受主耶稣基督，请你跟我做下面的祷告。主耶稣，我知道我是一个罪人，我知道我的罪是应该被处犯的，但是我知道现在我相信耶稣基督为我死了，他爱我，为我死在十字架上，并且他从死里复活了。我相信耶稣基督是我的救主，谢谢你赦免我的罪，也 并且能够用圣灵能够更新我的生命。我这样求是奉耶稣基督的名，阿们。
阿们。If you trusted in Jesus Christ today, please share this news with someone so we can rejoice with you.
如果你已经这样做了，请你把这个好消息跟你旁边的人分享，让我们知道。
For all of us who are Christians, the question that comes out of this message is this.
做我们基督徒的今天的信息是要告诉我们这样子。
Have you been fully obedient to the vision that God revealed to you so far?
你是不是完全顺服了神所呼召你要做的呢？
Are you willing to surrender each part of your life to the Lordship of Christ?
你是不是愿意把你生命的全部都能够奉献？
Let's take 1 minute of a silent time, and all of us, let's just come to God and offer prayers of surrender.
让我们用一分钟的时间来对神说话，能够对神献上我们的感谢。